What's up, Albuquerque? You doing okay? We sure hope so. This week on the podcast, we're talking fashion and clothing. Have you ever walked into a clothing store only to be greeted with an attitude like,
I get it, I'm not cool enough to be here. Yeah.
You're telling me I don't belong here.
Yeah, like even, you probably don't even want my money, it seems like.
Well, today's guest got tired of that attitude and decided to open up her own store where she wants everyone to feel like it's Cheers.
Where everybody knows your name.
Come on in, you're welcome here. It's What's Up, ABQ.
What's up, Albuquerque? This is Lindsay.
And this is Ryan.
And this is season two of What's Up, ABQ. What's up, Albuquerque? Thanks for listening to another episode. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is What's Up, ABQ. And today we have
Sarah Gonzalez from NeoThread.
So let's talk a little bit about what NeoThread is.
Yeah, so NeoThread is an upcycling brand. It's really a sustainable and ethical brand made to empower women. Really what that looks like is we have a mantra that's cool girls care, and that's really challenging and empowering women to care about sustainability, to care about others, and that looks like shopping ethically and clothing that's not leveraged by slave labor. And then lastly, because all of the pieces are one of a kind, there's an element of caring for yourself and celebrating yourself, because these pieces reflect something in you and express something special about you.
So how did you start this?
So I started as just kind of a struggling business student. I knew that I wanted to own a creative company that did good in the world. And at the time, I think like most, I was shopping at thrift stores because, you know, broke college student. And and then I was modifying them to my liking. And then I just kind of started, I guess people were, it was garnering attention. Mm-hmm. And people were asking where they could shop my clothing. And I think I realized in business school, because I was studying entrepreneurship, that the degree or the piece of paper wasn't going to make me feel ready to start the business, so I might as well just start it. So I kind of just started on Instagram, pre-DM, like it was a convoluted, really like messy purchasing process. Yeah, so doing like people commenting their PayPal emails.
So I actually remember this happening because when my first son was born, I was at home, and again, like I'm a creative person as well. And so it was like, well, what can I do from here that I'm already doing anyway? And like, and I remember when you could still use Instagram to, cause I used to sell vintage clothes. And so, yeah, you'd say, okay, like first one to DM their email, like gets it, you know, and you're just like, here's the measurements. And people were all about that. And then it kind of became a little more regulated as I roll my eyes. But, it's interesting because there was a time where that was really starting to pick up and you're like, oh, I think this could be something.
Okay, so you had this idea when you were in college. So what were first steps like?
So first it was just making the items. It's really sourcing, finding pieces at the thrift store that I felt, I don't know, called to me. Because a lot of the times I think people always wonder like, how do you find such amazing things? Or how are you knowing what to choose? And I'm like, you know, it's kind of just like a chaotic, I wish it was more standardized. I think it's become a little more standardized as I like create collections, but it really is just like, what, this fabric is just speaks to me or stands out to me, or like, I don't know what you're going to be yet, but you're going to be something beautiful by the time I'm done with you. It's always like my thought. And it's always funny to look in my cart because by the end, there's usually like a color palette or theme going on that subconsciously has happened, which is what it is.
So on a weirdly related note, I feel like I can relate because when I was little, I was all about the Legos. And I feel like when you're going through a bin, you have random pieces that are like, I don't know what this is for, but if I don't get it now, I will never find it again.
Yes.
Like, do you ever have pieces that you come across, you're like, I don't know how this fits, but
yes,
I will need it.
Yes, totally. And I think those have ended up in my quote unquote project pile. And then they come to, it's kind of one of those things like, I don't know yet. And then inspiration strikes maybe a few days later or even weeks later, like whatever happens, it is kind of one of those things of like, this is definitely a one-off piece and I need it now. it doesn't fit maybe like the vision I have for this collection, but it will, you know, come in into fruition.
See, I feel like that I always go, and when I'm at a thrift store, like if I see a piece of like vintage Pendleton, I'm like, it doesn't matter if it fits me or not. I'm like, yeah, I need that. I'm gonna take that. And then I'll just hang on to it. And then, you know, maybe I'll sell it. Maybe I'll find someone else that'll look amazing. I don't know. But it's like little things like that. And I think like how you're talking about, it's almost like an art. Like you have to develop an eye for things, and then you kind of come into your own taste and how it all works together. So what is one of the most unique or one of your favorite pieces that you've made so far?
I would say there's a jacket that it was just a plain white jacket. So, I mean, it was a tabula rasa, you know, just a blank canvas. And I had dyed it pink and then rimmed it with red and then embroidered this red like woman's face on it, and above it said Miha. And that one I think is just this most special to me because it was really reflective of my childhood and growing up. Like all of those colors were like what my grandma used to dress me in, was like red and pink sweatpants, curled hair, and you know, I was her Miha. And so I think there are just these moments that bleed into like, I don't know, your past. And I think that is where it becomes art, is that I have an experience and a history that nobody else has, and this is how I express it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the beauty in wearable art or any sort of art, is that you're getting a glimpse into somebody's life or vision or past, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I totally get that too, because when I'm writing, I see that, and I don't know what it's going to be until after I finish it, and I can kind of look back and do a read through, and it's like, oh wow, like I'm working through old things that I didn't even know were there, and so it comes out in random characters or story arcs. Yes. Like, I totally get it.
Yes.
So, and for me, like, it's funny because you mentioned, like, it's a part of, like, your past. Like, we grew up in Oregon. We say that all the time. I remember people wearing plaid, and I remember Pendleton being everywhere, and it is, like, a comfort thing to me.
Yes.
Like, I remember my grandpa having this very thick Pendleton jacket and smelling like Old Spice.
Yeah.
So I think it's that thing of, like, this is what I connect with, and this is something that is, like, a little nod to, like, where I come from. So
yes.
I totally understand that. Do you feel like you have a certain type of shopper or client that comes to you? And if so, what do they kind of look like? Who is it? Who's the person shopping at NeoThread?
Yeah, so I think it's women generally and girls. Usually I've seen that it's usually girls around 15 and then women up to like 45. So, I mean, it's I wouldn't say diverse in that that's a, you know, small enough group, but it's cool to see how many people resonate with the brand. And I think the coolest thing for me is that they're not inherently conscious shoppers, which I think gives me an opportunity to be an advocate and an educator for why sustainability is important, why the disposability culture that we have is really negligent and also harmful to our planet. And so I think it presents this opportunity where people are getting, and women and girls are getting to interact with my brand and say like, oh, I didn't realize that these big box stores, that these clothes are made in Cambodia by these women and children, and these people are enslaved to their work. So I think that's been a cool opportunity, is that I'm not a quote unquote sustainable fashion brand first. I say that like the differentiator is that all the pieces are one of a kind. Because the standard should be that they're ethical and that they're sustainable.
Have you seen the idea of people choosing this ethical clothing over, you know, whatever else? Have you seen that change over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think I've seen, I mean, even within my spheres of influence or my circles, I think I've seen people question and even download. There's this app that's called Good On You, where you can look up brands and see what score do they get based on what kind of practices are they implementing, whether it's labor or for the environment. So yeah, I think I'm seeing that change, and I'm having those conversations with whether it's girls in my community or even outside that are buying these items. And I think I'm hopeful to see that more of these conversations are being had, and I think more people are turning to secondhand in general, because that's really the first real movement and where there's a lot of power made in shopping secondhand and what we already have.
So, and that brings me to another question I have. Here in town, do you see certain styles or trends or clothing lines that you see over and over and over again in secondhand stores?
Yeah, I think it depends on the stores you go to. Because I think the bigger ones have more of the commercial H&M, more of the fast fashion items. The local ones is where you kind of get the more fun picks. You get some of the old Western wear, some of the really cool 70s pieces that, like, I'm amazed that some of these items have stood the test of time when, you know, my Forever 21 shirt in high school was like tearing after one wash. Right, so it's kind of also going back to this idea that things were made better before, and trying to make high quality items again.
So if somebody is shopping at a thrift store, what should they look at in terms of quality as far as a garment goes, or even something that's maybe vintage? What are they looking for that determines, hey, this is maybe better made than, say, okay, like H&M or Forever 21 or what have you?
Sure. Yeah, so I think it's all about the stitching. A lot of it has to do with how are the stitches held in place. A lot of times clothing will be what's called serged. And so it's just when it's kind of wrapped up tightly and you want things to be serged.
My wife sews sometimes and she has a serge protector. Is that the same route?
Correct. She's doing the same with just reinforcing stitches, and reinforcing really what it is raw edges, so that things don't fray. A big thing too is just with denim. When you can find real denim, that's always great because it's just so resilient and durable. And usually you can tell because it's the only like jeans that won't stretch, which none of us are used to, and we don't love. So usually those are the ones that like will just tear. And also it's one of those comfort things where it's like, if you want stretch denim, then you get stretch denim. Do your thing. There's no judgment here.
Good, because I used to live in the Midwest.
Stretchy waistband.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever stretches, let's just put it on. So yeah, it just depends, again, like what you're looking for in the thrift store. Whether it is for comfort, there are like certain routes you can go. If there's like, I want the authentic, then yeah, a lot of times, you know, comfort wasn't the first the first thought. It was like, and again, I'm usually like comfort over fashion. And even like with that being said, is like personal style over fashion or trends. And I think that's one thing I just hold in high regard. And same with you, with your Pendleton story and your background of like coming from Oregon, is that's you expressing your personal style rather than what is Gigi Hadid wearing right now.
Right. And to be honest, I don't care.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, there's a few people in Hollywood, like, let's be real. There's a few people where I'm like, I do care because I really like what you're wearing. Like Chloe Sevigny, I love her stuff. She's the best. I'll just shout her out, I guess. Since we're on this topic.
If you're listening.
Doubtful, but I love her. You know, but there's, yeah, I think like whatever a Kardashian is wearing yesterday, not really in my sphere of influence at all.
Sure.
So do you have some places in town that you love to go to again and again?
Yeah.
When it comes to thrift stores?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think too, I mean, I'm the weird girl that shows up that like every Thursday or Tuesday, and
I go every Friday to Salvation Army, so it's okay.
Yeah.
See, it's so the, all right.
I mean, by this point, I've like developed relationship with the people that work there. I think few know what I do, so they're probably like, this girl's just a hoarder.
Where everybody knows your name.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, this poor girl.
Like, it's for work.
Yeah, exactly.
I swear.
I'm just collecting. Yeah, so there's like, I think we all kind of know Manal is like the thrift strip.
I've seen that.
Yeah, and so it you know, by season it kind of changes where I frequent. Right now, St. Vincent de Paul has my heart. I love, and they're also the best people.
And they're so cheap. Like Saturday, it's like, oh, everything is a quarter. And you're like, what? Like, I feel like I'm robbing you.
Yeah, that's
like,
nuts.
Are you sure you want to? Like, I'll give you a dollar. I'll give you a whole dollar. Take my money.
Totally. Yeah, but I think, again, those are the small places that I think people maybe also feel more inclined to give to, because there's also a cause behind. Mm. And so I also try to frequent, like, even Goodwill is like a bigger store, but they also invest a lot in the community and, and hire people outside and of maybe like high risk situations or, and so I think those are the places too that I definitely want to patron because they're doing something.
Well, I feel like that goes back to the idea of sustainable fashion. It's not just the garment you're wearing. It's that sustainability going back into the community and that money. Like, okay, I'm going to buy this stuff from you, and that money is going to go back into this community service, which goes then again back into Albuquerque. And it's circular.
Cyclical.
Thank you.
Yeah, you were on that.
Cyclicker?
Yes. Cyclicker. New word.
I just made up a word. Yeah. I'm off my game today, guys.
It's been a long week for me.
Tell us a bit about your store. A little bit off mic, you were talking about how, you know, you have your physical location now. What's it like going from a non-location to a location?
And what is the space like? I mean, it's definitely a unique space. I'd love to talk about that more because it's a lot of really cool things happening.
Yeah.
In one spot.
Well, thank you. Neo, let's see. I think in February, it'll be 4 years that I've been full-time with NeoThread. So I consider that the launch. It's just been a lot of work to get up to this point where I can have a storefront. And it's really just a presence within an art collective or retail collective, which is Ann's Stuff, which is next to the Little Bear.
Oh, I was just there. I was there the other day. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, you're familiar. So I'm connected into that space. And it's nice because you enter through Ann's Stuff to get into my space. And that's great for a myriad of reasons. One of them being, I don't have to be there to staff it so I can make things and be replenishing. So it's really cool. And then to your point, Lindsay, about the space was when I envisioned it, I don't know, I think part of this is kind of going back, but 4 years ago when I first started Neo, the vision I had for it was much different. It was this minimal brand, white and black. It fit very much just like your ethical clothing, just like very natural, very, I don't know, just muted, maybe was the word. And the branding looked totally different. And it's taken me up to this point of like, I'm not afraid of colors. I actually really love them. They're part of me. And like, Neo's actually fun. I thought before it was like minimal and cool and whatever. And it's just not. It's just fun. And so the space itself, the two things that I was concerned with, it's like I want it to be fun and I want it to be approachable. Because I think we've all walked into those shops where you're just like, I get it. I'm not cool enough to be here. Yeah.
You're telling me I don't belong here.
Yeah, like even you probably don't even want my money, it seems like, with the interaction we're having.
Which is the worst because it's so awkward. And you're like, I'm here to spend money. And you know that and I know that. But you still are looking at me like I don't deserve to be in the, like, walk in the door.
Right.
It's terrible. It's a terrible feeling.
Right. So, I think as it all came together, I'm really proud of how it came together because, I mean, this being my first physical presence and having to share Neo outside of my home studio or even online was like, oh, this is kind of crazy to build a whole mood board of what you want and then hope when you put it on the walls it turns out right. So if you haven't been in the store, it's pink. It's just like a pink box. My friend says it's unapologetically pink.
I love it.
And it's like, again, it's so different from what I imagined. If you told me 4 years ago I was going to have this pink and primary colored space, I wouldn't believe you.
So what's the address and hours, people know?
Yeah, so the address is at 3123 Central Avenue in Suite A. And the hours are 11 to 6 on the weekdays and then Sunday and Saturday. Sunday is 11 to 4. Yeah. I think I just really wanted something that stood out. The clothing racks my dad and I made specifically, they're kind of, if you haven't seen them, they're kind of like these squiggle wavy bars. And I think that was just important because I didn't want these pieces to be on a straight rack because I think it would have given this idea that they were just thrifted or vintage. and I wanted them to be highlighted. And so these kind of squiggle racks gave them each a display almost to mm-hmm. be turned out and say, like, this is a one of a kind piece. This is a one, you know, highlighted.
Okay, so fashion question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
all right.
Hey, I was not prepared for this either.
I'm not prepared for it either.
Wow.
Okay. Do you think the whole hipster vintage thing, is it dead? Or is it, I mean, where are we at with it?
Are you asking if there's a name for what we are doing right now?
I don't know. I just like, I don't know. I feel like...
Desert modern.
Well, thanks. I don't know. This is all unexplored territory. So,
I mean, give me... Are you saying that, like, you've seen a decline? Or are you saying that we saw it? What are you...
Okay, well, I feel like... You know, for a while, when I just come back and visit, and, like vintage was always huge. I mean, it still is, like, you know, I guess... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. This isn't my place I usually wander in. Yeah. So, like, is it still living and active? Is this, like, a style? Has it changed?
Yeah, I think what I've noticed is that I think we go through different eras, almost, of just being highlighted. So I think probably what you're talking about when it was, like, quote-unquote hipster vintage, everyone was really trying to encapsulate this, like, 70s boho vibe, mm-hmm. which I think is still very present. I think they're now just forming into, like, that's my personal style. Like, this is a lifestyle rather than, like, a trend, maybe. So I know people that are, like, I just wear very, like, 70s. That is kind of the era it's reflected. I think now people are almost... Like, believe it or not, 90s is vintage.
Back. I know. I was a kid in the 90s, and I'm like, you guys, I wore that stuff in, like, second grade.
Yeah, yeah, like, totally.
I remember the colors and the patterns.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, there's some things that I'm drawn to of, like, oh, yeah, this is, like, my wall growing up. We splattered paint all over it. And, like, that's one of my, the pairs of painted jeans that I've done. Those are the colors. They're, like, primary colors that I'm, like, this reminds me of looking at my wall and, like, having me and my brothers, like, handprints on the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we all did that, right?
Our mom had a wall in the 90s where she took a feather duster.
I remember,
Do you remember that?
One, yeah.
It was, like, a trending thing. Like, a trending thing in
trending.
The 90s. And my mom was probably my age. And the thing to do was, like, dip a feather duster in paint and then, like, feather dust your wall with the feather. It was weird.
Wow.
Yeah. So she had pink and blue on the front wall and then the bathroom, too. It was it was intense, but
it was a vibe.
It was a thing.
Yeah.
For sure. I remember this. So. I think Ryan also, like, and I don't know if you can agree or maybe talk a little more on this, just because something is vintage doesn't mean that you're going to wear it, or just because it's old doesn't mean that it's, like, fashionable. Like, I think there was a time when maybe hipster culture or hipster fashion was like, oh, this is old and ugly, so I should wear it. Mm. And it's like, I mean...
That irony.
Yeah.
Sure.
Are we, like, out of the ironic fashion era?
Like, depends on who you talk to.
Good answer.
We need to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
What's up, ABQ wants to thank our friends at Castle Coffee Company, 727 Tierras Northwest, who has hosted many of the podcast's recording sessions, building a culture of love and community one cup at a time, all done by hand, with coffee blends from Middle State Coffee, Old Barrel Tea Company, Cafe Lush, and pastries from Much Ado About Muffins and The Witching Flower. Castle Coffee Company, downtown at 727 Tierras, servant-minded, coffee-inspired, community-focused. See the current offerings and order online at castlecoffeeco.com or dial 508-5271. That's 508-5271. Castle Coffee Company.
Hello, this is Eric Carter Lundeen, the host and producer of True Consequences, a true crime and mystery podcast with stories based in New Mexico and the American Desert Southwest. We'll uncover cases such as the Toy Box Killer, one of the worst serial rapists and suspected serial killers in New Mexico's history. We will also discuss mysteries such as alien sightings, as well as hauntings and other weird things that happen in this area of the country. I hope you'll give me a chance and listen to True Consequences. I think you might enjoy it.
You can find us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
And we're back. And today we have with us...
Sarah Gonzalez.
And Sarah, where are you coming to us from?
Coming from NeoThread.
Okay. So I love your mirror in there, by the way. Can you describe that for us? And if people, Albuquerque, whoever is listening, if you have a chance, stop by, go see this mirror. It's like my favorite mirror in Albuquerque, and that is a weird thing to say out loud.
Favorite mirror in Albuquerque.
All right.
Yeah.
You've heard it. Yes. You've heard it here live.
Yeah, so it's this big circular mirror. That was kind of just the statement piece that I knew the whole time is this is what I want in the space. It's a giant, I think it's a 42-inch round mirror. And above it has a neon sign that says Cool Girls Care, which again, I said is the mantra of the brand. We actually have it trademarked. We got it trademarked this year.
Why have a store in Albuquerque?
Well, it's my hometown. It's the only place, actually, it's the only home I've ever known. I've born and raised here. And actually, Knob Hill specifically, I've never actually even lived anywhere other than Knob Hill because I was born, my parents had their family home there. And then I went to UNM, so I moved blocks away several times.
Grown up, yeah. And going down the street.
Exactly. I kind of had to, cut ties in my own way. Which
so wow. Really, would you just say you're just like moving down Central, essentially?
Yeah, exactly.
Central is your own personal timeline.
Totally. No, exactly. If you, depending on the street, I'm like, that was a time, that was a time. So I think in Albuquerque specifically, it was just like, this is where my heart is at. And I wanted to be, like, I always have dreamed of this being home base, even if I want to travel or maybe even in future plans have other stores, other places. Like, this is home base. So I think especially being invested more into this community, because the hope for the space is that it is also a community resource where I can start taking donations responsibly, where I can start hosting sewing classes, or other workshops or clothing swaps. That's like coming up in the pipeline too.
Those are so fun.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite things.
Excuse me.
Please
yeah.
Let me know when that happens.
No, absolutely. I think it's just something that like we're behind in a lot of these things that are also other practices of sustainability that are a lot of fun too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I can open that up to this community. So I think that's kind of why Albuquerque is. It's just okay. Where my heart's at.
Sure.
So do you see maybe Albuquerque is becoming more up and coming than it was before? What are we on the verge of? What do you think is going to happen in the next 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, I think the rumors are that we have a lot of people coming in to Albuquerque, probably from a lot of trendy places like LA, even the Pacific Northwest, and I think people are finding out.
Or something.
Or something. But places where I think before we've looked to as like, that's where we gotta get out to, where I think people are now realizing like, oh wait, this is a really amazing place and other people outside of it can see it for maybe what more of us like locals haven't for a long time.
Right.
So I think, yeah, I think it's up and coming. I think the people that have been stressed about Albuquerque being behind, quote unquote behind, mm-hmm. I think the thing that I'm excited about though is like we are growing, but we're growing slowly, which means that we're not getting super commercialized or losing our identity, which I think has happened, at least that I've talked to in other states with people that are like, quote, like X city no longer has an identity because we just grew so fast. We just took on whatever was trendy and what we thought like was cool in LA and copied and pasted here.
That happened, you know, that happened in Portland, like where we're from. It's like the Portlandia wave and everyone's mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm moving to Portland. And you're like, right. Cool, but like, it's not the same city.
No. Sure.
Like at all.
So you've said that you've mainly lived around the central Knob Hill area. How has that just stretched changed in the last 10 years?
Oh my God, it's crazy. I mean, I think good and bad. I mean, even my parents tell is that Knob Hill was not a wanted area when they bought their house, which is why they could buy their house, was that it was kind of a little bit more, I don't know, like higher risk area, what have you. And so I think we've seen that it's become a lot more safe. And then we saw a lot of businesses move in there. And then I think, you know, with everything that's happened with art, we saw a lot of businesses close down. We've also seen that it's not really a shopping area any longer. And it is where you just have a lot of restaurants, a lot of great ones, but at the same time, if it's our main street and it's kind of the heart of Albuquerque, we need to have more options for shopping or more experiences, because you're not gonna go to 7 different restaurants, you know, right. when you're just wanting to walk the town.
Most people.
Yeah, yeah, most people, unless you're more fun than I am. So I think that's why And Stuff and the Neo Thread Shop just made sense there. And the cool thing is with being in that space, what I tell people is, like, we thought it would be great. And it has been great. It's exceeded our expectations, which has been awesome. But I think the surprising response that we've gotten back, especially from people in the neighborhood, is like, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for investing in this neighborhood. Thank you so much for caring enough to try something new. Thank you for giving us something else to do here. Which, again, it was like, oh, wow, that's great that that's something that people get to experience and that we get to be part of, when that wasn't really, I don't know, at the forefront of our mind, that, like, we're going to help this neighborhood, you know?
You know, I think that's true. I think there's been an almost, like, a newer generational draw because of things like and Stuff. Mm-hmm. because it's, like, you have this newer generation that's, like, okay, I've lived through Central going through the transition of being maybe dead, for lack of a better word, for people our age. I remember the first time I ever really went to Nob Hill, I was like 21. And the only thing you could do is, like, go bar hopping for a little bit. And that was it. There was nothing else there. And so it's really cool to be able to be like, well, you know what? I can go, like, on a Sunday afternoon and I can, like, get a cup of coffee. I can have a beer if I want. I can shop and stroll and I can mm-hmm. do those things. I can bring my kids. It's not crazy. Sure. And there's more going on. You know, there's bookstores and there's boutiques. Yes. And I think we need more of that.
Totally.
So I think you're onto something. I definitely think we're probably going to see another wave of business.
Absolutely.
Hopefully, you know, that next generation of business kind of show up and make it boom again. And I'm really excited to see what happens.
Totally.
Okay, so important question time.
Wait, I have one more question.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's fashion related.
Oh, fine. Fashion
fashion
first.
Fashion corner. It slipped my mind and then it came back. Go. So it's all the airplanes. Go. Just sort of, you know. So you're shopping in a thrift store. What is your, like, unicorn find? What is the thing that you're like, oh my gosh, that is something that is amazing. I never thought I would see that in my life, and there it is.
So I think one of the ones that I found is this, like, 1960s reversible cape. And it's at the shop now. It's, like, it's so gorgeous. One side is just all leopard, and one side's, like, camel. And so it's, like, this giant, it's incredible. But it looks legitimately straight out of a Doris Day film. And my mom is, like, a huge Doris Day fan. So I was just like, this is everything.
I just got back from Palm Springs. You were there, Ryan.
I was.
And that is the one thing I was like, oh my gosh, I need to go thrift shopping here. Like, there's so many cool things.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I know. I was just curious because I was, like, looking and I was sadly disappointed. I didn't find what I was looking for.
The only thing I found in the whole store that I liked was just too small. It was like it was like, what was it, a suede jacket or something?
Oh,
it was pretty cool, but it was
that
too
is
small.
A good find. Yeah. So anyway, I'm always curious to know what people's like amazing find. Like, if you could find anything in a thrift store, like, what would it be? I think for me, it would be like a 1920s like flapper dress.
Ooh.
That actually fit.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
Gotta have that.
Okay, red or green?
Oh, it's red for sure, and that's breakfast. Breakfast food, and I have a hard time leaving town for this reason. When I go to other breakfast places, they're like, you're gonna love this place, and I'm like, if there's not chili, I can't hang.
You're like, I'll stay home.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of a little brutal.
Stay in my hood.
Yeah.
Okay, and if you're gonna go somewhere in town, and not a relative's house, because we gotta roll it out, where you get good chili?
Oh, shoot. We've got a lot of good places. I would say I really like Cocina Azul.
Okay.
Yeah, they have some really good chili.
That comes up fairly often.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And then for coffee and or a beer or a beverage, what's your favorite spot?
So Little Bear is definitely my favorite coffee. They're great. Atmosphere is great and, like, service is great. So I'm a big Little Bear fan. And then beer, I have to say La Cumbre has my heart. Mm. They do it well.
They have, like, a die-hard following. Like, people that like La Cumbre are like, oh no, there's no other beer. Like, that's it.
Oh yeah.
Like, my husband is one of those people.
Yes.
He's like elevated IPA, like, that's all I want. And I'm like, okay. Like,
totally.
There's no other IPAs in the world. So.
Which kills me because I'm a dark beer guy.
Okay.
And
I am,
like,
too.
Everybody in town is all IPA. It's like, come on, guys. Like, I was down, like, the store the other day, and it was like IPA, like blonde, IPA. And I was like, come on.
Right. You need your stouts,
yes.
Your porters.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. So what's coming up for you? What are some things that are coming up for Neo Thread? And what's kind of on the agenda? What's happening?
Yeah. So, like I said, I think really where I'm going to try to focus my energy now is into hosting more community events and getting more workshops going. I'm trying to really figure out what that looks like. It's just more of a logistical thing to see if I can teach people also to upcycle, or maybe even hem their pants or change things that maybe, or even fix or mend pieces that they loved, that they don't want to just toss. Mm-hmm.
This jacket is one of those for me.
Yeah. I mean, you want to keep wearing it, but it's just the logistics of, like, do I need to bring in sewing machines? Do we have others bring in? Those kind of things. That's big. And then eventually what I'm wanting to do is bring on, I want Neo to be a platform where other upcycling creatives can sell their goods. And so I have a few actually locally in town that are wanting to join the collective, but it's just making sure that I have the capacity to service them well too, and kind of run that model. Because I think, like I said before, I can only create what I can create, and there's someone else who can create these pieces that I could never, because I don't have their experience or vision or their life experience to make the amazing things they do. So I think giving more variety, and maybe even that means going into menswear, maternity wear, kids wear, you know, like, I think that will open up a lot. But right now I'm like, I can only focus on this one thing and do it excellently. I think if I add more things, it's just adding more things.
So one thing that we've noticed after moving back, my wife and I, she, you know, from the Midwest, she sews, like that's normal everyday life stuff there, but here it's not so much. Like here, like you drink something out of a mason jar, you're trying to like make a statement, and there it's like,
yes,
that's what you can things in. Why are you drinking out of that?
Yeah.
Like this vinegar.
Totally.
You know, and then like with sewing, like it's just something that you do because you, it's like they carried on from like the Great Depression, and so like you repurpose things, like you just do. Like your mom like makes you clothes and dresses, and you know, that's just what you do. And so here, when she mentions it, people are like, "Oh, you do? Wow!" So like, have you seen a sort of similar disconnect with like everyday sort of like old skills that are coming back? Maybe.
Yeah, I think there are old skills that are wanting to, which I think that's where I'm like, okay, if I can be the connector to make sewing less intimidating, because I think people just see this machine and they're like, I don't know what to do with that, or I don't even know how to thread a bobbin. Like, that's, once you get past that part, we can start sewing straight lines. We can do a lot. So I think kind of bridging that gap will be cool, because I think you're saying the same thing of like, even with my parents, like my dad was born and raised in Santa Fe, and he has 8 siblings. And all of the girls made their own clothes. And so that's where I learned from my grandma and him and my aunts. And that's what you do. And the reason that like also sustainability has like always been a part of my life, because my dad's like, you just use what we have. Whenever he was teaching me to make stuffed animals, he's like, well, we have your old shirt that has holes in it. And we have, you know, we're not throwing anything away. Mm-hmm. You just kind of, it's like gratitude and practice in that way of like, be grateful for what you have, use it. So I think that's another element that's kind of being tied in, is that there's potential in a lot of what we consider quote unquote waste. And sewing doesn't have to be super intimidating and scary.
You know, it's interesting. You kind of answered my question, but I was going to ask you, you know, why do you think that concept works here in New Mexico? But I think we are resilient as a people, and I think that we are used to taking what we have and trying to make things out of it, or recreate it, or reinvent it. And so my question to you would be, do you think that maybe the New Mexican attitude is just kind of, we're built that way? Like we have that resiliency, and we have that need to take what's going on and go, okay, you know what? I think as a metaphor and as a city, we can kind of do that with our city as well. I mean, how do you feel about things like that?
Yeah. I think that's
a rambling question. I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head there, and I agree. I mean, like, as a born and bred New Mexican, like, I think that's just ingrained in me and in us, and it resonates for a reason, right? And I think, like I said, even as I've traveled to different places, the brand resonates for different reasons. I think for here, it's like, whoa, you did that out of this, like, that's what's most impressive to people, is like, you took something and then you made it really cool again. Whereas like maybe in LA, it was like, oh, I love that design. That's like really pretty.
Well, it's funny, because I've heard this from other different creative podcasts I listen to. Limits help force creativity. And so if you only have, you know, XYZ pieces to use, you got to get creative, yeah. you know, and then you get to really see kind of the genius of somebody come out.
Totally. Totally. And I think that's where I had this conversation just this weekend with my boyfriend about this, because I feel that in the way that I really appreciate those that sew from a pattern, because I'm like, that just is not my, that's not where my creativity shines. Mm-hmm. I was like, I love getting something and saying, you know, looking at something like, this is just a shirt. And I'm like, no, it's not.
It's a canvas.
Yeah, yeah. Now it's a jacket or whatever. You know, like, I think that's where I get to kind of bend. It seems like that it's a format, and then I get to say, like, no, I'm bending the rules, and that's where I just feel the most maybe validated or fulfilled in my creativity, instead of, like, getting a bunch of fabric and then making this beautiful piece, which I have friends that do that, and I'm so amazed by that, where I'm like, no, I'd rather deconstruct it and then make my own pattern and then do that, which is a different kind of creativity.
So again, would you tell us where you're located and then the hours so people can find you, any social media that you have, they can follow you. And then also, are you taking fabric donations? Are you looking for anything specific that people can help you out with?
Yeah, so to answer the last question first.
So
no, you're fine, you're fine.
Doing. No, I am off today, and it is just like, I am tired and my brain is not firing on all cylinders.
I'm having a blast, so there's no need to apologize. To answer that question, at this point, as I was talking about my project pile, it's pretty full right now, so I want to make sure I'm just, like, kind of going through that stuff, and then, again, not just, like, hoarding or collecting, like, I maybe have a propensity to do. And then you can find the Neo Thread shop. It's in the new development at the old Disco Display House. So it's 3123 Central Avenue, Northeast, and it's Suite A, and you'll enter through the And Stuff Retail Collective. And the hours are Monday through Saturday, 11 to 6, and Sundays, 11 to 4.
And is there anything else that you want to share for people listening?
You can also follow at Neothread Co. on Instagram, and that's kind of fun because I do Transformation Tuesdays, where I show you what I've been working on that week, the befores and afters, which is a lot of fun. And then I think the most popular thing, and the reason I get stopped by people I don't know, is Winnie Wednesdays, which is my dog Winnebago. She's an old English sheepdog, and she's a character. And so every Wednesday, which is today, so I've gotta be posting, she, like, takes over my story, and then we just post about her, which I think is just a good, like, midweek pick-me-up.
Everybody loves dogs.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Even if you don't like dogs, you can appreciate them from far away. You don't have to interact with them. So,
but if you don't like them, there might be something wrong with
you. Yeah,
yeah. I'm looking at you.
Well, thank you so much for meeting with us.
Of course. Thank you
for being patient with the airplanes flying overhead, even though it's a beautiful day outside.
It is great.
Nice in the sunshine. So thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you. I really appreciate this. This was a blast.
Hey, Albuquerque, and thanks for listening to What's Up ABQ, Albuquerque's very own podcast. Every week, Ryan and Lindsay talk to the people who add unique flavor and make a positive impact to our fair city. We help point you to the places you need to see, visit, or patronize, and to do this costs some time and resources. So, without sounding too needy, could you help us out by pitching some funds our way? You can drop some bucks in the tip jar by donating at whatsupabq.com. And if you know about a local business or establishment that should be featured, or you own one yourself, drop us a line at abqwhatsup@gmail.com. Again, the website is whatsupabq.com, and the email is abqwhatsup@gmail.com. We've also got a few sponsorship spots open, so get in touch with us soon to reserve your business's time on the show. What's Up ABQ is produced by Lindsay and Ryan, with post-production assistance from me, Paul Nixon, at paulnixonvo.com. Make sure and leave us a review on your favorite podcast player. Tell your friends about us, and thanks for listening.